Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby and this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We're joined by Sonny Pike. If you watch football in the 90s, then you definitely know Sonny's name, the little boy with the curly hair and the Ajax kit. He's written a fascinating new book, his autobiography, so we spoke to him. We brought you some clips of the month, which hopefully you enjoyed. And we had a bit of a chat, of course. Here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. Good weekend.
All those years of suffering and frustration and anger, and it's all worth it for
what,
a day like that.
What suffering for? You won 19 trophies in the last...
There was quite a long period before that. I started going in 1958. It was only 2004 they started picking up, well, the odd 1970.
All those years.
It was a lot of years, a lot of frustration. But it was one of those days where you just sit there at the end of the day and you just can't believe what's happened, really. Yeah. It was sensational. I was so delighted for Brentford. I do feel for Swansea fans, but for Brentford, it's a great story, and it's going to be hard for them, though. You know, watching that Championship game, it's such a step up to the middle and upper levels of the Premier League, not so much the lower levels, which is why teams can survive. And you get teams like Leeds and Sheffield United that have done well, but blimey, it's going to be hard for Brentford, it is. But anyway, for the time being, it's going to be fun, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Be interested to see if their model, which has done so well up until this point, works in the Premier League. If it does, I think you'll find a lot more Premier League clubs following.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, they've got some very, very good players. We'll see how it goes. And of course, the Champions League just was sensational, wasn't it? I mean, Chelsea fully... It's funny, I was saying to you that the Premier League is harder than the Champions League, certainly this season.
Yeah.
The standard has been higher. I mean, Chelsea have played great in the Champions League. They were brilliant in the group stages, thanks to Frank Lampard. They were terrific in the knockout stages, and they deserved to win the final. So, you know, whereas in the Premier League, they struggled. They were lucky to finish fourth, if you're being really honest.
When you looked at the City team, did you think, oh, this has given us a leg up? Or did you think, oh, it's just another attacking weapon?
Oh, no, absolutely. I just thought, oh, this is good. I looked at our team, and he picked the team me and Jason talked about on Friday.
Yeah.
So it's always good when the manager picks the same team as you. That was great. And I just thought, look, you know, I said to you, didn't I? I said games between City and Chelsea are either very one-sided or very tight win for Chelsea. And that's how it turned out. It turned out three times in a row, really, the same game. And, you know, if you look at Arsenal and Leicester and who else did it? Villa did well against Chelsea. They all did the same game plan. They all sat back, very low block. Allow Chelsea and Werner to miss about five chances and then score a goal and win the game.
Yeah.
And that's what
I mean. Werner did his bit.
Villa did.
I mean, he made some great runs, but he did his bit in terms of missing chances.
The one where he kicked the ball
at his stand in front. I mean, having said what he said last week, that, you know, if I miss a chance in a game early on, that could be it for me. He said he'd got over that, but I don't think he got over that. Do you? The occasion.
Well, the one he couldn't get out of his feet. Yeah. No, that was poor, really. But it was funny at the end when Tuchel, did you see when he went to get his medal, he did a Norman Wisdom.
Yeah.
Up the old tripped up the stairs.
Yeah.
That was marvellous.
Did you do the little jog? Did the little jog afterwards?
Yeah, do that little jog.
Like I meant to do that.
and he touched Roman Abramovich. There's a photo of them on the pitch and he's sort of touching his arm. And I said, you don't want to be doing that, mate. It's like the Queen. Don't touch it.
Don't touch the. That's the first time they've met, wasn't it? I mean, in those circumstances, like you said, things can only get worse, really, aren't they?
Really?
The next time he probably sees him is when he comes down to the training ground and give him his cards.
Probably. Yeah. But it, look, you know, everybody, you know, all those fans protested. Of course, they were upset about Frank Lampard. I was upset about Frank Lampard. But this methodology that Abramovich has, it works. It works for him. So he's not going to change it. He's not going to give a manager like a 10-year contract because he knows that somehow this chaos theory that he does, it kind of works. So
does he run all his businesses like that? I mean, does he, you know, he's like his sales manager. Only with these people going around filling stations saying, do you need a few more Mars bars? I'm not sure he's in that business. I think he's a bit higher than that. He doesn't go, you've had a good run on... had a good run on Starburst. I'll get you another couple of boxes those out the back of the Mondeo. But I wonder if he treats all of his people in his business like that. The quick, he's very loyal to Marina, isn't he? He's kind of his right hand woman at
people
Chelsea.
He trusts. Mm. That's the thing. Yeah. When you're that rich, it's very hard to trust anybody. So when you find someone you can actually trust, you tend to give them a lot of latitude. That's why, you know, when she wastes £71 million on Kepa, he doesn't say anything because he trusts her, you know. Whereas, you know, but I mean, look, fair play. They've assembled a decent squad, and if they get the right striker, it's going to be a very fascinating summer for a lot of clubs, not least your own club, Paul, and, you know, with all the stuff about Harry Kane and Serge Aurier leaving. I just wonder if you're going to his testimonial.
Yeah, I was going to say I probably can't do tomorrow because I've got to drive him to Paris. Yeah, doesn't know that yet. But I'm going to bundle him into the back of the car and drive him to Paris. So, yeah, I wasn't massively gutted about that. It's very interesting, though, the Pochettino rumours continue and there's stories about him falling out with Leonardo. Philippe on with Max and Charlie yesterday saying it's more likely that Leonardo would go than Pochettino. And it's very interesting that the I think it's tomorrow. I think tomorrow is the last day for the season tickets. I think at 5 o'clock. I think you'll find at 5 past 5, they'll effectively scotch all rumours of Pochettino returning. That's when Scott Parker is standing there with the shirt. It might even be 2 minutes past 5, but this one is. I did the dirty deed. I felt like I should have mug stamped on me forehead. But I've renewed my season tickets because that's what I do. As I said to the boys that I go with, I said, to be honest, I don't really go for the football. I really just go to see them and have a beer and a chat. Really, that's the football. Is normally the most disappointing, crushing part of it.
Well, that's what I was saying at the start, and it's often that way, you know. So that's what made Saturday so good. But from a Spurs point of view, I heard Gabriel Jesus and Ake, you know, all right, they're not Harry Kane, but on the other hand, if he's clever with the money and if he's clever the way he does it, you know, the Spurs can still, they've still got a decent squad.
Football never works like that. There was a story, I mean, I know Jiggo had the story this morning, Paul Jiggins in The Sun, saying
about
it could
Raheem.
Be
I can't see that.
Sterling and Jesus. How often do you see two players for one player and money? I mean, it's what we all say, like swap deals. You rarely see it in football, do you?
Yeah, well, you do rarely see it. But I think they are talking about it. They're talking about this. We are in an extraordinary time, and, you know, and it could happen. We'll see.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, 5 o'clock this afternoon, Gareth Southgate will be announcing his final 26. And in a press conference at 6 o'clock, we'll be hearing from Faye Crothers just ahead of that to kind of set the scene. I think they're going to have a little chat between one of the players, hopefully one of the players that's got in, and Gareth at 10 past 5. The FA are doing that. So I take it it's one of the boys who's got in the team and Gareth having a bit of a conversation. But we were interested today, if you've ever had to be the bearer of bad news and it not going quite as well as you'd hoped, you had it all mapped out. And I suppose Gazza with Glenn Hoddle is the ultimate example from a football point of view. But it happens in life, doesn't it? Sometimes you have to break bad news to somebody, as those boys are going to get that today. I mean, some of them may know the way the things are going. So anyway, let us know this afternoon, the day you were a bearer of bad news. And Gareth saying today is one of the reasons he didn't want to do the job. So many managers have said to me over the years, the worst part of the job, especially when they're kids, and which is something we'll come on to with Sonny Pike, but when you have to say to those kids at 16, 17, we're not keeping you on, or to say to senior pros that we're going to let you go. He says it's the toughest part of the job. But anyway, let us know. The day you, the bearer of bad news, didn't massively work out well.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. There is a new book out. It's called The Greatest Footballer That Never Was. It's written by Sonny Pike. And as we were saying earlier on, if you watch football in the 90s, you would know Sonny Pike's name. And you're in your mind's eye, you can see a young kid with long curly hair doing keep-me-uppies in an Ajax kit. Sonny was picked up by Ajax and went and trained over there. But before that, he was all over the place. He was on TV, he was in the papers. He was going to be the next big thing. He was pictured with George Best. Sometimes these things work out and sometimes they don't. And from Sonny's point of view, that tilt at professional football didn't quite happen, as he tells that story in his book. It's a fascinating read, an amazing story, and I think as relevant now as it was then. And Sonny joins us now. Hi, Sonny.
How are we? You all right?
Yeah, we're good. Good to talk to you again.
Good.
What was it like putting this together? Was it kind of cathartic? Was it a useful thing to do? Did it help kind of putting the story? I know you've told the story before, but committing it to print is a kind of step further, isn't it?
Well, no, it's been useful, massive, definitely useful for me. To be fair, the last time I was on TalkSport, which was about 4 or 5 years ago, this actually gave me, when I came out of the studio there, this one you was in Hatfields, I came out of the studio, my messages on social media, people saying to me, you've got to write a book, you've got to write a book. Mm. So I actually started coming out of that TalkSport interview last time. And it's been brilliant for me to sort of go for it in a real depth sort of thing. Through social media, I've got to back talking to people and friends that I had from like 15, 20 years ago and really gone for it really well.
Yeah. I mean, TalkSport played another part in the story, but we'll come back to that a little bit later on, Sonny. But Andy, yeah.
Yeah, it's a story that's still relevant today, Sonny, isn't it? I mean, you know, the kid, the prodigy that's got so much talent and the exploitation by older people who see some, you know, financial gain to be had out of this young lad succeeding. It's a difficult thing to have lived through, I think.
No, definitely. And like you said, it's very, very typical of today. It's like my sort of story, I feel like, was sort of 20 years maybe before its time, because like with social media now, I mean, I was like sort of Sonny Pike, this wonder kid. But if you look on Instagram and social media in general, there's millions of wonder kids, next Messies or whatever you want to call them. Yeah, there's loads of people in the same position as me now. Yeah. Mm.
Let's go right back to the beginning. You were kind of scoring goals in youth football and just kind of getting noticed, like a lot of kids do. You know, little kids in local leagues all over the country look quite talented. But what made you different? You know, when did you suddenly get that notoriety? It was a couple of like newspaper articles locally that led to national exposure, and it just sort of steamrolled from there. Yes,
exactly that. Yeah, I was playing for Enfield Football Club, and like you said, scoring. I was like the top goal scorer in the league for a few years. I used to get loads of little clips in the local paper. Sonny scores a clear winner, or Sonny's doing really well and whatever else. And then I got scouted by a few teams. And then I ended up on London Tonight. Well, for me, took me from the stage where I was sort of known locally, and it sort of spread onto London Tonight. And there was I had an interview and they watched me in a game and I scored like 4 goals in the game. Done really well, and they asked me about what I enjoyed in football. And in the 90s, I started talking about Johan Cruyff, Pelé, Maradona, Boca Juniors, and talking about skills and this, that, and the other. And it was just a bit they weren't used to it. Young kids sort of talking about the sort of things I was talking. Obviously, back then the game was a lot different. It was long ball, and everyone just sort of smashing each other up in the air, sort of thing.
And I'm just wondering, I mean, you had Eric Hall as your agent. I mean, I loved Eric. I knew him really well. But it strikes me that maybe somebody a bit more football, a bit more, you know, professional in a sense in that way might have helped.
Because Eric
you.
Was I that kind know. Of blur between showbiz
well,
and
was showbiz,
sport, wasn't he?
Eric yeah. was showbiz, really.
And that kind of feeds into what happened next, the way that, I mean, your dad features a lot in the book. I know your relationship has not been repaired, but that... Where'd that come from?
Not me.
No, it wasn't me either. Is that you? I think that's the TalkSport app, isn't it, going off? It must be breaking news. I've lost my train. Yeah, so suddenly your dad noticed you getting this notoriety. You started to get sponsorship. You had your own kind of kit deal. Suddenly, as you said, there was a lot of clubs around. You were doing lots and lots of TV. You're on the pitch at Wembley doing keepy-uppies. And what was it like for you in the middle of all this, being kind of sort of shoved from pillar to post and doing all this sort of stuff? Do you remember at the time enjoying it or not?
Well, the thing was, I think when I went to Ajax, when I came back from Ajax, like you said, I started getting all the boot deals, sponsored by Paul Smith, Coca-Cola Kid, McDonald's advert. And like when I first came back, it was like, I remember just saying to my dad, look, I just want to concentrate on my football. And he's like, yeah, we're done this bit now. And then it just led on to one thing, led to another. And I just don't think we get to a situation where you could say no to anything. And then I'll just remember a lot of the time looking up into him, like I suppose kids do, just like, come on, I just want to play football. And this is my story, but I can sort of sense there's a lot of kids, maybe if they don't even want to play football as much, and their dads are like, no, you are going to play. You're going to play football. So, and I got this in that sense where my dad just took his drive to sort of make me become like this sort of celebrity character, a celebrity kid, which I didn't really want at all. It sort of led to me having anxiety, panic attack. And that was the sort of start of where it starts to sort of turn again.
Yeah. I mean, we'll give people an idea of the kind of level of fame you were reaching. You appeared on Skinner and Badil's Fantasy Football. Andy was the producer of that show, and we listened back to the clip earlier on. This is just a little bit of that conversation that you had with David and Frank on the show.
Do you really, really want to be a professional footballer? Is that always what you wanted to be?
Yeah, I always wanted to be. Since I've been little, I used to watch, like, Liverpool.
When did you start playing? When did you first kick a ball?
In the 1990 World Cup, around then.
I don't remember you at all. Shame in a way that you're going to Ajax. Why haven't Chelsea been in touch? Have you not had no English clubs?
Too tall.
Have no English clubs been in touch at all?
Yes, been most of them. Like, you had Manchester United, Arsenal, Spurs, Norwich, Ipswich.
Well, so the whole of the Premier League.
That is quite telling, actually, Sonny, listening to that, because they laugh, as they do, because you are a little kid sitting there as a little kid saying, I've always wanted to be a footballer since I was a little kid. But yeah. it's telling what you'd already gone through in your short life, that it felt like a lifetime ago when you look back on being a little kid. It was like your youth was stolen from you.
Well, this is it. And if you read the book, you'll sort of understand from 10 to 14, especially between 12 and 14, it was a full-time sort of job. So the football become less and the priority was adverts or whatever else we was doing. Football become on, I was on the back burner. So, that's definitely the way it's sort of going. And like you said, I sort of lost out on a lot of my childhood and birthdays and this, that and the other and different normal things, I suppose.
There was a TV documentary as well that Greg Dyke put together that maybe you felt was going to be another showcase and put your name out there, but it was a piece about sort of exploitation of young players and talent spotting, and that was almost the sort of final nail in the career coffin, wasn't it, really? A lot of people backed away from you at that point, including some of the clubs.
Yeah, that was it, because I suppose for the few years before, I sort of my sort of family life's become sort of say civil war, let's say. Like, so my coach Terry and my mum were sort of saying to me, like, my dad's best interest was just, he was more worried about making me a celebrity, and my dad was coming in here the other way, and I was caught between the two. But then the documentary came out, and like you said, I was expecting it just to be a documentary, like maybe how well I'm doing and whatever else. And it turned out to be coaching and poaching, and they sort of filmed me behind the camera. Behind a curtain, like secretly, like a sort of secret mission of me being on trial or training at another team, at Chelsea, actually it was. And then they put it together at the end, and then it's just like me being coached up and this, that and the other. And then they made, then it was in the papers after that for a while. They sort of span it for a little bit longer and then ended up in courts with my family and everything else. It's sort of that was definitely the final nail in the coffin, for sure.
Well, we'll chat to Sonny after the sports headlines about how he slowly put his life back together. It wasn't easy, but he's in a much happier place now, as I think you can hear. But we'll continue telling his story. The book is The Greatest Footballer That Never Was, and it's out in hardback now, published by Reach. We'll chat to Sonny a bit more in a few moments' time.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're chatting to Sonny Pike, that star of the 90s, the boy with the long curly hair in the Ajax kit, who was all over our TV screens and our papers, as we said, in the early to mid-90s. He's written his autobiography, The Greatest Footballer That Never Was. And we met, I think, probably when you were still in your early 20s, Sonny. I was having some building work done at home. One of the boys, Daryl, said, Sonny, Pike's upstairs. He's doing some work with us today. And I went up and had a little conversation with you. You were doing, you know, some labouring. You were doing different sorts of work. And at that time, you said, you know, you were toying with the idea of going abroad. I think you were looking to get back into non-league. You've been playing a bit of non-league. But I think subsequently you sort of fell out of love with football, didn't you? It was having got so close to stardom, it was quite difficult not to be in that situation anymore.
Yeah, that was it. So I ended up at Stevenage, and then I was there for about a couple of seasons between 16, 18, and then a little bit at Barnet, and then I played a few games there. I knew after, when I was 15, 16, after some events that happened in my life, that my football career had to sort of become on second best to sort of my mindset, let's say, because I knew what way I was going. But then I'd done the non-league for a little bit as a young boy still. And like you said, I ended up working just as doing a bit of labour in there at that point with my friend Chris.
Yeah.
And ended up in your shower, if I remember rightly.
That's right, ripping the tiles off the wall for Oz. That's right. Yeah, he's quite a character. He's a show in himself. But you went off and did the knowledge, as you said. You sort of built a different life for yourself. But it's interesting to say, TalkSport playing a little bit of a part of you getting back into football. With when Colin Murray was with us, our old colleague, he put together a little charity game, didn't he, and got you involved, and it gave you the appetite for the game again.
It did, yeah. I think just talking as well, just being on the interview last time, I came out with such a sense of relief. Like, I went and got in my taxi after, I'm obviously a black cab driver as well, got in my cab, I just felt so relieved, like, just that people understood a little bit more about my story instead of just like, hey, it wasn't good enough, he didn't make it. Not that I want sort of that sort of towards me anyway, but just so people understand a little bit more maybe what I went through. And then, like you said, I started got that off my chest, started playing a little bit more. And then all of a sudden, like that was say 4 or 5 years ago, I've gone like full circle to a certain extent. I'm sort of coaching and doing quite a lot with the game now again, which is nice.
Yeah,
it's lovely, and life is good for you now, as you just explained. But you had the wilderness years, tough times, and coming out of it, you know, it must have been very, very difficult. I mean, you must have suffered. I suppose you suffered mentally, like a lot of people would in that circumstance.
I mean, one of the tough things is that the first question most people ask when they know you're Sonny Pike, they say, "What went wrong?" I mean, if your life is defined by that, that must be really tough, because that's obviously the first question that people probably used to ask you at a certain time, Sonny.
That's it. They say, "What happened? What happened?" In that sort of tone, if you know what I mean. I'm like, "Well, really got the time to go through it." I mean, that's why I think this book has done me so much favours, because like it's so much involved in it, sort of thing. The different sort of lanes and different avenues I've taken in life with football and without football. So it's nice to get that sort of out of me. But yeah, it's working well for me now anyway.
You say you're working, you got your own academy, and you're working with young kids on the cusp of the game. I mean, from a football and skills point of view, but I would imagine also managing their expectations as well, because you probably see stars in the eyes of a lot of the kids that come through your place, and you know, it's quite difficult to manage a kid's expectations, probably as it was yours when you know, you think you're going to be a pro.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I actually enjoy talking to the parents, and the parents like coming back and forth, like sort of talking to me. So talking to the kids, talking to the parents, and just being that sort of that other little figure that maybe I think to myself that I could have had maybe when I was younger. I could have had that sort of person. I mean, I had Terry, which is brilliant for me. He was on a hide into nothing really from the amount of stuff that was going on. But to be that sort of character that can sort of help them and guide them, like technically, that's my sort of thing. I love all the details and the skills and whatever else, but like to be there as that sort of guide, as the mindset wise, is feels just as important to me.
You still a Chelsea fan, Sonny? You still follow the team?
No, you know, I'm actually Liverpool.
Oh, right.
You've turned, have you? I thought you were Chelsea.
No. Liverpool. I was going to go over time for Chelsea. That was the thing. Yeah.
Right. Did you ever have the chance? Did Liverpool ever come calling as well? Did you have conversations? Did you have conversations with him?
No, I think Liverpool was probably the only one. Typically, but no, yeah.
There is a chapter in your book called The Next Big Thing, and I'll recount the conversation you had with a dad who phoned you up. He says, "Here, Sonny, can you coach my kid, mate?" And you say, "Who is he?" And the dad says, "Well, he's five. He's not a normal five-year-old, though. He swims three times a week. He's got a personal trainer coming in twice a week. He does golf. And I want him to get started in football." And you say, "Are you for real?" I mean, the thing is, we say your story is as relevant now as it was then, because the attitude of some parents and people around them hasn't changed, has it, really? And you probably see that all the time. And it must trouble you, because you could see the way it could pan out for this kid.
You just see them sort of, it's tough to get that. I always say it's like walking on a tightrope when I talk to the parents, to get that balance of, obviously, I'm the same. Our kids play football, and my son plays football, for instance, but I want him to enjoy his football first. But also I know that he's got to work hard. So it's just getting that balance in between the two is so important. But it's a tough thing to do. But obviously, it seems to me you either get parents that are either sort of extreme and over the top with it, or they're sort of clueless with it. Do you know what I mean? It's tough. It is a tough one to sort of negotiate through that in the right way.
And do you ever play now? Do you ever put the boots on, apart from coaching?
Yeah, I've played a handful of games. I played a few games for Talk Sport, with you guys. I've asked in a couple of games, and played a few five-a-sides with my friends, but not a lot. But I've got another game next month, actually, that I'm looking forward to.
Okay. Your dad did reach out, didn't he, via Facebook? You write about it in the book. You're not interested in picking that relationship. There's too much gone on in that relationship for that to be repaired.
I mean, you never know in life, but I mean, it was just sort of the timing of when he's come back to me, like he thinks I'm going to get, sort of, I've got a book deal, and then all of a sudden he wants to talk to me again. So I thought it was a bit strange, but listen, you never know. I've got no hard feelings. I mean, this is completely out of me. It's more about me sort of trying to help other people with it now. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, listen, I'm sort of happy-go-lucky, relaxed sort of guy these days.
You talk in the book as well. I mean, let's look at some of the exciting stuff. You did some amazing things. You know, as I said, there's the dark side to it. But, I mean, ultimately, you say in the book about being around that Ajax team, seeing those first-team players. It was a great Ajax team. And meeting the manager, meeting the players, and so there must have been some sort of pinch me moments, even as a kid.
Oh yeah, massively. I remember when we turned up in brilliant times, things I'll never forget. We turned up to the Ajax ground, and my dad was clueless about anything to do with football, but he just wanted to help me do my best at the beginning of it. He was on a mission to help me, and he was doing really well. If you read the book, you'll see that we're on a mission. And we turn up in the coffee shop, they had a little coffee shop above the training ground, looking onto the first team training, and Van Gaal comes in and gives me some biscuits because I'm drinking like a hot chocolate. And then my dad's like, "Who's that?" I'm like, "That's Van Gaal." He's like, "Oh, okay, whatever." And then he goes, "Come watch the first team train." Now, I just remember looking, I went down to the first team train. I was on my own, holding onto a sort of chain link fence, my eyes through it. I could see Lippmann, Kanu, Overmars, De Boer, Bergkamp. And I was just like that. My tongue must have been hanging out the other side of the chain link fence. They was doing certain skills. I would go back to the digs I was staying in, and I was trying to copy everything. It was infectious. It was unbelievable, like the effect it had on me.
And
my final question is, if you had just concentrated on football, do you think you could have been a top player?
Yeah. But you never know, because I never sort of got that. I felt like mentally it was sort of taken away from me. Like, I mean, it's like my mind is sort of just on another complete other job, if you understand where I'm coming from. But technically, I just felt as good as anyone, if not better, to be honest with you. But like, things happen, how it works out.
Yeah. And finally, your lad Bowie, mummy, he really looks like you as well when you were young.
Yeah.
And you say he's playing football now. I mean, has he got a chance? And if he did, would you mind him going down that route? I mean, I imagine he'd be under pretty good tutelage. He'd be in pretty safe hands from your point of view, wouldn't he?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, he's just started. He's a good little player. He enjoys his football, and just trying to keep it like that for now. I don't want to be sort of over pushing him that he's got to do this, that, and the other. I just want to enjoy his football and sort of see where he goes with it. As long as he's smiling and enjoying himself, He's at a football camp now, so he'd just be running around like a lunatic in the garden. Good. And I've got
that's dog. Great.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, look, lovely to talk to you, Sonny. We wish you well to book it. It's great. You're in a good place these days, and things are working out. Where can we find a bit more about your academy? There could be some mums and dads out there, some kids, looking to tap into your skills. Where do they go?
It's if you go on Instagram, it's Sonny One on One. Yeah, and it's just Sonny One on One. And then I'm on Twitter, like you guys know anyway. So yeah, I'm on there.
Brilliant. All the best, Sonny. Good to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Sonny Pike's book, The Greatest Footballer That Never Was, it was published by Reach in hardback now.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yes, it's time for the clips of the month. For May, we have got six for you, and you can go along to Twitter at TSHNJ, TSHANDJ. We'll have a couple of semi-finals you can vote for, and then a final, of course, and just before 4 o'clock, we will bring you the winning clip once again. So, at TSHNJ. So, let's bring you the clips then, and we'll kick off with one from earlier this month, of course. Last month. We were surprised to hear a seal called Vinny phone the station, then suddenly lose his nerve.
Vinny's a Man United fan. Hi, Vin. Vin?
Oh.
Lost his nerve, didn't he? What a shame. Poor old Vinny. Vinny the Seal.
Quite a few people on TalkSport seem to be struggling with excess gas during May. First, Rupert Bell.
We're heading back to more like normality, and hopefully there's no reason you wouldn't have thought the way it is in America now in September that we can't have normal crowds.
We are. Yeah. And then former boxer Tony Bellew.
We're going to be putting the whole of the heavyweight division in one night, and it's two British legends. And that's the most important thing.
Tony, just watching.
God, blimey, everybody had a little bit of gas, a little pocket of wind there.
Now, you've probably heard of the 1970s rock and roll group Shawaddy Waddy, but we're guessing Faker others hadn't.
Bands from Leicester, this says this, it's Mark the Hammer, here we go. Show a daddy, play Three Steps to Heaven, says Mark, and well done to Leicester.
Show a daddy. Great, now, this was Paul Coit chatting to the former Spurs and England player Darren Anderton, who suddenly appeared to be possessed by the devil.
I think everyone comes away feeling very disappointed and very worried about the future of the star man.
How important is Harry Kane in hand?
We went from that point to and became stronger. I think this would be a little bit more difficult.
Sure. What would you do, though, if you're the...
Darren Anderton these days, very big on the death metal scene, of course.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And finally, it was Alan Brazil chatting about his family.
My granddaughters called me Alan the other day. I'm like, what?
No way.
Well, my name, my name is, believe it or not, Gingong.
Yeah, Alan's nickname with the family is Gingong. But the way he said that, of course, did remind us of something.
My name is Gingong. My name is Gingong.
So there we are. There's the clips of the month for May. So was it number one, Vinny the Seal phoning the sports bar? Was it number two, Rupert Bell's burp? Was it number three, Tony Bellew's burp? Was it Show a Daddy with Faye? Number four, was it Darren Anderton possessed by the devil, which is a phrase that I'd never use? At five, or was it Alan and Slim Shady together at last? So go along to at TSHNJ, TSHANDJ. The semi-finals will be up shortly. Vote for your favourites. Around sort of 3.30, 3.35, we'll have the two finalists, and you can vote once again. And the winner will be played just before Goffey and Andy Goldstein are here with Drive. So, Andy, anything you want to share with the class?
Yes, my first story comes under the heading of Statements No One Wants to Hear. And this comes from Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder claims he will decapitate and disfigure Tyson Fury when they fight again. He won't, will he? It's just not A, he won't, and B, he's going to lose.
Well, it's, and nobody it's wants also to hear just, it. It's not, it's never helpful, that, is it? I mean, it's just tedious, such dumb isn't chat, isn't it, really? And
I know, yes, yeah, people have had enough of that, really. Yes, the longest chip PR contest continues.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is the thing we talked about last week, where the chip companies, well-known chip companies, I think deliberately put in a very large one for somebody to find and then ring up the papers, and yeah, it seems to be working. It's Willy Wonka's golden ticket. I'm still working on Twiglets. I've quite excited. I showed you the other day, Paul, a trident and a seahorse. I came up with a duck on the weekend as well. So I've now got three. Yeah, a nice collection of.
You're getting odd shaped yeah. Twiglets. It's a sort of item as well that lends itself to odd shapes, though, isn't it? From in the factory process, I can imagine that most of them just look like Twiglets. But you found that that's pretty good. A duck. Is it a good duck?
Yeah. Oh, it's very good, yeah. I'll let you have a look at it. Yeah, I'll send it to you later.
If you're off on holiday at Bali, although who can go on holiday at Bali at the moment, but if you can, be careful, because there was a picture emerged today of some people being punished for not wearing face masks out and about. Do you know what they got them doing?
What?
Press-ups. There was three lads. The army had stopped them for not having masks on, making them do press-ups.
That's quite
so
an
that could be quite a fearsome
do,
sight on the beach in Benidorm, couldn't it? So, but yeah, you can't do that in Bali, so that, be careful.
Now, Jonathan Wilson's an excellent writer. We've had him on the show, and he writes brilliant books about football. Mm. And he has quite a left-field approach to it. But I have to say this one, that he was talking about Pep's decision to not play a holding midfielder. You won't see this very often in a sports newspaper. He said, selecting no holding midfielder on Saturday, Pep has become like Oedipus leaving Corinth to try and ensure he never meet his parents again.
Yeah.
Don't all fans think like that?
Yeah, that was my immediate thought. But up in the ante a bit. Now, the cheese rolling would have happened yesterday.
Oh, yes. Very
but
sad, yeah.
It didn't, because from a COVID point of view, and it's obviously health and safety nightmare, people charging down a hill. We've had some. But still, the keeper of the cheese goes out there and symbolically rolls a single double Gloucester down the hill, a lone double Gloucester. It's like the last post, and they just roll it down the hill as just to mark the fact that a cheese has
just
been rolled.
Just to keep it going, it's a great event. Andy Smart's done it. It's quite dangerous, isn't it?
Oh, quite dangerous.
There's no question
it's incredibly
about
dangerous. We also asked you, Gareth has been bringing bad news to people today, and you'll hear that squad during Drive to 5 the last 26. Gab Cancello's been in touch. He said, I had to break the news to an unsuccessful candidate in my department who didn't get a promotion. She burst into tears, started punching her leg, then stood up and threw a chair across the office and stomped out.
No.
She later came back and apologised, but threw a chair. Yeah. That is quite impressive, isn't it?
Well, that's good, isn't it? The Duke of Kent is to take the late Prince Philip's place at Trooping the Colour. Has anyone told him there's no tennis involved? He might be quite disappointed.
He would have liked all the stuff.
Especially in June. He's getting ready for Wimbledon. I mean, it's big for him. Sid Vaughan, who often writes to The Sun, has been talking about the football season. He's delivered his views on it. And, of course, I can't find it now, which is absolutely typical. What did I do? Brilliant. I wrote down my list. Oh, yes.
Oh, there it is.
Yes. No. Yes, here it is. Here it is. The Champions League final was fantastic, apparently, according to Sid. A tribute to fans in English football.
Mm.
Chelsea are champions of Europe. Yes, we know that. But what an incredible feat for Manchester City, winning the Premier League and League Cup and only just missing out on the quadruple. Still not telling you anything you don't know there, but never mind. With Leicester City winning the FA Cup, I knew that too, and European Super League hopefully buried once and for all. What a season, he says. One thing I would say about the last season is not what a season. And my team won the Champions League, and I still thought it would pretty awful, actually.
Yeah. And Andy, last year you bought the Loch Ness FC shirt, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I've seen this season. He hasn't got a monster on it, so I'm not buying it.
It has. Oh, no, you've not.
Has it?
Yeah, you clearly haven't.
Really?
David Wharton sent it. He said, hey, make Andy aware of this. They've gone the extra mile this season. It's a dark shirt with gold piping, but on the bottom of it is Nessie. Did you manage to miss at the bottom of the shirt?
Oh, I've obviously
missed
it.
The Loch Ness monster, like a lot of people have. Obviously, you can't see it. But, Nessie's there, a little Scottish castle.
Maybe that's the idea, exactly.
I don't know how you managed to do that. It's huge. It runs right across the bottom of the shirt.
And also, you know...
You've done it once.
How many Loch Ness deep shirts that I'm never going to wear do I need?
I've got no
idea. I haven't actually worn it. I think I wore it for Football Shirt Friday, which was quite fun. But I've had a change of clothes. I wear a different shirt every hour. That's the way I roll.
Indeed. Is that what did you have the lucky shirt on for the Champions League final? What did you do?
You know what? I decided not to do any of it and just wear what I was wearing. And
which is a Stamford the Lion outfit, complete with head.
Just a normal, actually black. I was in all black. So
oh, really?
I don't know why.
Okay, black. Yeah. Really, it was like, you like Pep, were you?
Oh, yeah, very much so, yeah. 11,000 people applied to be a donut tester, which is hardly surprising, but it involved free donuts.
Yeah, that's a good gig, isn't it? Sounds like a good really gig.
Yeah. I do like a donut. I never had them.
It'd be a shame to lose the moose, but, you know, good luck to him. Sunday Cup final. This is from Colebrook Royals Vets. Sunday Cup final. One player's dad owned the minibus company and supplied the coach, but I subbed his son at half time, which meant we didn't have a bus home after an extra time winner. That's bad,
that's
isn't it?
That's not right. That's bad.
Bearing bad news.
You know, you've got to be. That's such a competitive dad, isn't it? You can't take my son off. I'm going.
Yes.
That's not good.
Anyway.
That's the sort of thing I probably would have done. And finally, bring it all back to sport. Mm. The priest who married Boris Johnson on the weekend is a keen Arsenal fan. There you go. So who knew?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Just time to bring you the winner of the Clips of the Month. It was Alan Brazil, 75% of the vote. Alan, yes. Talking about his family.
My granddaughters called me Alan the other day. I'm like, what?
No way.
Well, my name, my name is, believe it or not, Gingong.
Yeah, Gingong. And that did remind us of something, of course.
My name is Gingong. My name is Gingong.
Definitely release that. Thanks for everybody who voted.
I prefer it to the original.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. I'm back here with Max Rushton tomorrow. Don't forget birthday spread on Thursday. Andy will return for that. But until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.